You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week we have our special Ladies' Day service with a testimony given by Deborah Pinnell. Let's listen in.
Do y'all know that the speed of sound is broken at 768 miles per hour? I was reading a devotional this week about it, and he was talking about how it took him a long time to figure out, because when you get to 767 miles per hour, there's a created energy that pushes against the plane, and it would vibrate so bad that they thought it was going to explode, and they would back off. And finally, somebody had the courage to press the throttle and break the sound barrier. And some of you who know me and love me know that my biggest fear is public speaking. So here I am, pushing through. One of my biggest fears as a child, or those of you who don't know me, I'll tell you a little bit about my story. I was born to teenage parents. My mom was 15 and my dad was 17 when they had to get married. And I was the fourth out of five children. By the time she was 21, she had five kids. And within a few years, we were wards of the state. We were taken into custody because teenagers probably shouldn't be raising kids. But during that time was my first encounter with God, actually. When I was like 7 or 8 years old, I was at a children's home. We'd been in foster care in different places and all, but we ended up at a children's home for a little while, and I got locked in a room for 3 days in isolation when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And it was really dark at night and really scary. And as a child, I'd never been alone because I had five brothers and sisters, and there was like 12 kids in the dormitory room, so I always had somebody, so I did not know how to be alone. And so the second night, out of desperation, I just cried out to God. And I feel like peace just entered the room, and just, I felt held, but I won't hold myself again, sorry. I felt held, and I felt peace, and I sang Jesus Loves Me to myself to fall asleep. So when Michelle sang that while ago, it was like, okay, let's keep it together here. But it was just a beautiful time, and I really knew in that moment that God was real. Nobody had to convince me, and it wasn't something I was specifically taught, but I knew that God was real. But the next morning when I woke up, I wanted to summon him again. I wanted him to keep coming back. I wanted him to stay. And I felt abandoned. So I didn't, in that moment, dedicate my life to God. I just thought, he is real, but I don't know if he really cares about what I'm going through, because as a child and you're going through things, you don't really understand how it can, you just ask why. Why me? Why do I have this life and not the easy one over there that somebody else has? Just didn't make sense at the time. But then fast forward years later, I was on the road to Thomaston going to give my testimony to a group of girls at a children's home. And a song came on the radio and it's called Why This Road. It was like the line that stuck out to me was, why this pain, why this, you know, why this sorrow, why this road? Like, it was asking why. And it's like, how long will it take before I know why? And in the moment, I was like, all those years ago that I asked why, I knew why. It was because I was able to take what I had been through and gone through as a child and go in, pour into these girls and encourage them right where they were at, right where I had been, with the same comfort that we are comforted with, we can comfort others with. And I knew in that moment that all of it was worth it. It wasn't in vain. It wasn't my choice at the time, but it's something I would choose again, to endure those times just to be able to share with those girls and to grow in the relationships that I ended up having with them. And I ended up, you know, even gaining a little redhead out of all of it. So There's that. Yeah. So God has a way of working everything out, even when we don't understand or even when we do ask why. And in the scripture, it talks about, let me get to my scripture page here, how he holds our right hand. I'd had a dream one time. I can't even find the scripture. It was on my Bible. Oops, sorry. I had a dream one time in 2006, and it was kind of like a nightmare, not really a dream, but it was scary. I was in a dark room, and there was no light at all, and I was just feeling the walls, trying to find the light switch, trying to find the doorknob, and I know it was because of the trauma of my childhood that it was all coming back, but I was in the dream, I was just trying to find it, and all of a sudden, there was light off in the corner, and I went towards the light, and it got brighter as I got closer, and then I saw that it was Jesus, and he reached out his hand, and I took his hand, but it was the right hand and right hand, and I thought, there's some semblance to this somewhere, like, you know, he reached out his hand, and I grabbed with my right hand, so we're facing each other, and in the scripture, it talks about, I'll uphold you with my right hand. And then in 13, it says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. So it was the joining of those right hands, and he led me out of the room. But when I woke up, I immediately started going to the Bible, and I was like, this right hand thing, it means something. You know, because usually when you hold a right hand, like even in the video, I don't know if you could see it or not, but there was a father walking down the street holding a child's hand, and it's right to left. That's how you walk alongside of somebody. But in our case, it was right to right. It was like a shaking of hands, like an agreement even or something. But I went to look it up, and that's where I found this, originally found this verse, whenever I had that dream and all. And that's why it's meant so much to me throughout the years, is because he holds my hand. It's his, and he's his strong hand. My hand is weak, but his hand is strong. And when I hold his hand, I become strong too. It's his power, it's his strength, it's his spirit in me that gives me the strength to stand before you today and get through this without crying. I'm really trying. I'm going to read you a little poem that I wrote. God gave me the gift of poetry too. Like people, ever since I was little, I don't remember how old I was when I wrote my first poem, but I've been writing all of my life, and it was like therapy. Whenever I'd go through something, I would write about it, and that's how I would get through it. And a long time, it was just for me. I never let anybody read them. I never shared them with a soul. They were just for me. It was just God's gift to me as a way to get through things. So anyway, I'm just going to read y'all one of the poems that I wrote. I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you lead. I'll trust you, Father, for all that I need. Guide me today in the path that you choose. I'll follow you, Lord, and share your good news. Give my mouth the words I should speak. Keep me close by your side, never out of reach. Envelop me, Lord, with your love surround me. Let your spirit flow through me and all around me. You created me, Lord, with a purpose and plan. Lead me now, Father, I hold your right hand. With you by my side, all fear and doubt disappear. My path is straight because your light is so clear. You lead me to righteousness for the sake of your name. Because of your mercy, I am not ashamed. I have been broken and I have been healed. By your word and your truth, my future is sealed. So thank you, God. You're my strength and my song. You lead, I will follow. I am weak, you are strong. Sorry. Now I want to tell you a little bit about the rest of my story, my salvation story. I was 23 years old before I got saved, and it was after I had Mitchell. There was a little plaque on the wall hanging above his crib that my stepmom had given me. And it said, train up a child in the way he should go. And I looked at that, and it had some letters and some numbers. And I pondered and I wondered as I saw it. I was like, I wonder if that's in the Bible. I didn't know. I didn't know anything about the Bible that much. But Marion and Gerald gave us a Bible. It was my Bible. It had my name on it as a wedding gift, but I hadn't really opened it up until that point. But as I saw that train up a child, I was like, I need to know how to train. So I opened it and I started to read it. And I started to read it a lot, but I didn't understand a lot of things. So I decided I had to go to church because that's where you could learn all about the Bible. So I guess I had to go to church. My mom had got us back out of the children's home, and she didn't believe in church. Not that she didn't believe in God. She just didn't believe in church because she had abandoned us and gone through so much. She felt judged, and she felt like the church was a place where you would be judged. So you don't want to go there. That's where they judge people. So you don't want to go there. But I decided I would go anyway, and I would just sit on the back row, and I would just learn. That's it. I was just there to learn. I wasn't there to socialize or mingle or get involved with this judgmental people. I was just there to learn. So I sat on the back row. And after the first Sunday that I sat there, when it ended, everybody came up to me and like, oh, who are you? And I was like, oh, whoa, back up. I'm just here to learn. I don't want to know anybody. So I started leaving, like as they would do the invitation or start that last song, since I was on the back row, I would just slip out and leave. So I didn't have to see all those people and talk to them and them ask questions about, you know, what are you doing here? And so that's how I felt anyway. So at one Sunday, the preacher was preaching and they got to the end and he was doing the last song and I was fixing to leave. But then he said something. He says, somebody here today needs Jesus. And when he said that, I thought, uh-oh. I felt the stirring in my spirit, and I had been several weeks leading up to that day, but I was just ignoring. I was like, oh, I don't know what that is, but that's scary. But I, for some reason, I stayed, but I held on to the pew in front of me for dear life because I felt like something was moving me out of my seat and out of my comfort zone. And so the preacher said, somebody here needs Jesus, and then they started singing this song, and I didn't even know the song. All I heard was one word, and that was come. And I felt drawn to just go, but I held on tight to that pew. I was not about to let go. It was scary. And so the song ended, and I thought, whew, that was close. I don't think I'm coming back next week. This is some freaky stuff here going on. I don't know if I'm going to come back. But just as I let go of the pew and, like, wiped my brow and was, like, thankful that I didn't get sucked into whatever that was pulling on me, he said, we're going to sing that last line one more time. And as soon as he did, I was in the aisle before I even realized it. I was sobbing. I went down to the front, and I was like, it's me. I need Jesus. I was hiding back there, but it was me. I need him. And so I gave my life to Jesus, and I started to pour more and more of the scripture. And he told me, he said, anytime you have any questions, you can call me. And I was like, okay. So then I started calling him all the time because I had a lot of questions. I didn't understand a lot, but I wanted to know it all. I wanted to know as much as I could about this God and about this Jesus and about everything that was in this book. And so finally he started a new believers class, and it was just for me. It was a tiny little church. I had never seen anybody else get saved before me, so I didn't really know how to do it. But also the new believers in the class, I think they were faking it just for my sake so I wouldn't be the only one in there. But he, like, went through and he taught and expounded on stuff and just really gave me more of a clue of what I was doing. And then I had been driving, like, 35 miles to this little church because I didn't want to do it right around my house because I thought those people will stalk you. They'll come after you. If you, I'd heard that anyway. That's what my mom had told me, so I believed it. So I'd been driving really long. I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to just go right behind my house. There was a church right behind my house, and it was a Baptist church. I'd gotten saved in a Southern Methodist or something, but it was a Baptist church, and they had a baptism. I was like, I want to get baptized. So I got baptized when I think I was 24 when I got baptized, and it's just been from there on. I've just been still in love with the Lord and still trying to serve him the best that I can. But for the past 6 years since Mitchell passed away, I haven't done much. In 2010 was the last year that I spoke, and that year I had served at Passion, and I was really excited about that. It was like a mountaintop experience, and then I went on my very first mission trip, and then JD was born that December, and it was a crazy busy year and a wonderful year, And then I was feeding the homeless on the streets of Atlanta. I was serving in any way that I could and doing whatever I could for the Lord. But I feel like the past 6 years has just been a time of healing and just spending time with Him and learning how to step back out in faith again. And so whenever Keith was talking about, you know, somebody stepping forward for the Ladies' Day, I was like, okay, maybe it's time. Maybe I'm, you know, ready to do this. But I was scared. And so when I asked Keith, I was kind of hoping he'd say, oh, no, somebody else is already doing that. I was like, yes. But he said, talk to Marcia Smith. And I was like, okay, okay. Still got an out. I'll just avoid Marcia. But then I came to church on a Sunday night and happened to walk alongside of her in the parking lot, up the elevator, and down to the chapel. And I was like, okay. So I said, Marcia, do you already have somebody to speak for Ladies' Day? She's like, actually, I don't. You know, or you want to do it? And I was like, well, I mean, it's not that I really love doing it or want to do it. I just feel like it's time. It's time to do something, anything. So that's why I came. That's why I'm here. And, okay, time. I brought another poem that I'm going to close with. And then I'll turn it back over to whoever. Keith, you're doing the invitation. Okay. All right. You question my love. I tell you it has no end. You say you believe in me, but you don't comprehend how high and how deep and how great I am, how merciful and mighty, the Lion and the Lamb. I am your defender and your redemption. In me you have life without exemption. Your questions are because you don't fully see who I am or who you truly are in me. Draw near to your Father. Come close to my throne. Come bask in a love like you've never known. Be near to me like I am to you. Accept this gift I've freely given to you. All you are or ever will be is what I made you. I wish you could see. Open your eyes and surrender your heart to a Father who has loved you from the very start. Not your first breath, but the beginning of time. Not because of what you've done, but because you are mine. Bought with my own blood, covered by the cross. My grace is your salvation. You can never be lost. Your darkest past, your deepest pain, all erased through the power of my name. Come to me for your every need. Call out my name and forever be freed. Believe in me like I believe in you. Trust that you are worthy and be made brand new. So, I appreciate y'all being patient with me, and thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. If anything through this testimony spoke to you, we would love to talk with you about it. You can find our contact information in the show notes down below or on our website at fbcamericas.org. And tune in next week as we continue our series through Ephesians.